Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The Sharp Tank.
We here.
No jumper. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world. And today, I feel like I got a legendary influencer from the game of influencing sitting here with us today, ladies and gentlemen. I got Mr. Nino Brown in the building today, man. How you feeling?
It's a blessing, man. It's good to be on the Sharp Tank.
Yeah.
Man, it's a blessing to be here, man. Two legends getting together.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I've watched you. Me, personally, I've been watching you before I even decided to even do something like this. You know what I'm saying? Or even thought that I could even get in it and, you know, evolve.
Right.
You know, I was watching you, man, and you been putting it down and been giving it to people for a while now, you know, and staying consistent.
Consistent.
And always trying to show love.
Man.
You know,
love,
man,
is key.
How's it been for you, man? Like, how's it been for you being into this game and the media world and things like that? Has there been any type of, tell me the goods and bads for you that's been, you know what I'm saying, happening?
The bad definitely going to be the fake stuff you deal in the game, right? But the good stuff is going to be when you first start off. Like, think about it, Shaw. When you first started off, you think back at it now, like, man, I miss them humble beginnings. Like, for me, I do. Like, I miss the things I used to could do. You get what I'm saying? I can't do some of the things that I used to could do no more.
Mm-hmm.
So it become a complex situation where you actually living your dream. You get what I'm saying? Well, you know, I just love the humble beginnings. I love the work ethic. I love the hustle.
Yeah.
So it's been very good, man. It's been, I wish, you get to a point where you wish you knew what you knew now back then when you first started, and you'll understand why you went through what you went through.
Yeah.
That's where I look at it as.
I feel like for you, it's kind of like you've walked people through your life. So when you were making mistakes, you would talk about it and tell people, and you
right.
would use it as like a form of, you know, just here's some game. I'm gonna drop a jewel. They don't even know that maybe some of these things have happened to you, but you're coming and expressing it this way. It's like you're marking your lessons.
Right.
When you learn and you understand it, man.
Yeah, like my thing is, I was just telling him today, I was like, hey, man, I spent a lot of my years grinding, and I could just tell it to you in 5 minutes. I spent 14, 15 years trying to work to get here, right? And I could just talk to you in 10 minutes in a video and tell you, cut the 15 years you're going to have to go through into 15 minutes. So that's the difference between experience. That's the best teacher. So, yeah, walking people through the experience of life, well, you ain't got to make the same mistakes that I made. You understand me? And it is an exit door out. You just got to start building it on your way in. And that's how I look at it.
Where are you from originally, Lavoie?
Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida. Yeah. I wasn't like that for you growing up.
Same thing you probably had to go through. You know, the same thing. Dope selling and coochie. You understand me? On every boulevard. You know, it's the same old game, man. Ain't shit change, but the weather.
Shit, I feel like these days, you know, in everything that's going on in the world, I'm going to speak this in general, I feel like the game, and I was just saying this to one of my partners, I feel like the game, it's not the game that's even changed, it's the players,
right,
man,
that's right.
That's playing in it, you know? And I feel like that's what's kind of made people that probably in the game, because you can't do this shit for long. Somebody either going to tell on you, like we've been saying, being in the dope game, right? Or any
right.
type of game like that. Like, somebody either gonna try to tell on you, try to steal from you, hate on you. It's more that going on today than actually having the mindset of knowing, like, okay, I got in this to make something of myself. But I see a lot of people get into it, you know, and they get into it just to boast on the next person, to flash on the next person.
Right, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't really understand that part of it, man. If we got into this to make something.
Right.
You know, to be something great.
Yeah, they lost their innovation and creation.
Yeah.
They more so hating on each other.
Yeah.
They more so in com- competition with the people that they eat with, even friends in groups. Like, everybody want to be the big chief, and nobody want to be the Indian.
Hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Shout out to
the
big
chief. It's too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Right.
So sometimes you got to understand that I don't care what part I'm playing on the team, long as all us getting a W. It's kind of like passing the ball and seeing your teammate hit the jump shot. You know we working towards a victory. It don't matter who score.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this society. Like, everybody in competition with the name brands. You know what I'm saying? Like, I walked in here and I seen Sharp Tank everywhere and I seen Big Chief. And I said, I need that shirt. I need that. I want to wear your brand on my videos. Because that's how we help the culture.
Yes.
Understand our power and our reach and our influence.
And that's why I've been waiting patiently, because I reached out to you a long time ago to get the interview, and I know the flights was fucked up.
Bad.
And I'll keep it real. You did show me screenshots. I'm like, man, I'm in the airport. Like, you was like, it's hard for me to get there. But I figured once me and you sat down, I just wanted to give you your shine and your crown and your flowers.
Thank
because you have been a part of the influencer game for a while now. You are not anybody new to it. And you run the numbers the hell up.
Yeah, I go hard, and I do everything organically. You know, I used to wonder how these rappers get these numbers. And I realized in these labels, they got a department now called social media. So a lot of these rappers, they capping with their numbers, and the people that's buying into their promotion and marketing, they getting scammed and schemed. But as an artist, you really just fooling yourself. Go out there and get the work up. Go out there and get the numbers up. You understand me? And that's what I did. I understood the one fan at a time train, and I ran on that train until I got as many that's of mine. And we all share the same fans. It ain't like my fans just for me. They like Sharp. They like Jay-Z. They like Nas, Lil Baby.
Right.
They like them for certain aspects of what they offering.
You kicking game right now.
So that's what it's all about. Understand that we sharing fans. Understanding that, you know, I'm going to work my way up. I don't care what it look like. I don't care if this one don't get that many hits. The truth is that one might not be for you. But the other people that resonated, that's why I hit them, because it hit home. My home ain't they home.
Right.
You understand? We ain't in the same. So I might be talking to somebody driving a Maybach, but you drive a Toyota, you don't know what that is. So you don't want to even watch that, because you don't think you could drive one. So I'm hitting home with the people that resonate with me.
Yeah. I be wanting to know, man, how you even find that truth in you, that energy in you to even bring it, because every time you drop something that's influential, you always bring an energy with it. You always bring the, I can see, I feel it from you, the pain, the happiness.
That's the word.
You know?
Pain.
Yeah.
Pain push you to purpose, and purpose give you power, and God give you strength. So I went through a lot in my life around DJ Khaled. I went through a lot of my life around being in the hood, in the street, jail, prison, let down, looked over, underpaid, underrated, to being overbooked, to being, you know, overcompensated, you know. And I was just telling him, like, hey, man, I'm making $110,000 a month. At one point, I wasn't making that. You get what I'm saying? I was making $3,000-$4,000 a month. And surviving, but then I realized what I was doing wrong. I was working hard, but wasn't working smart. So my whole thing is, turn your pain into purpose, and let that purpose turn to power, and let God give you strength, and the change gonna come, because the change is automatically attracted to purpose. It's a bondage. So I found my purpose through my pain, and now my pain became a testimony for people that's coming after me.
What was the relationship like for you and DJ Khaled?
Man.
Talk about it.
So now I look at it as a college course, where at first I didn't like the guy. I still don't like how he do business. Because if you look at We the Best, because he say that a lot. Yeah. It ain't really We the Best, it's He the Best. He's the only one winning on We the Best. Every artist that he had is either broke, ain't on the label no more, ain't doing nothing. So it's the whole label is based around him. And I don't have a problem with that. But my whole thing is, a candle don't lose no fire by lighting another candle. Both of them shine bright when they ignite. If I get with you and you have the power to turn me on and put me in position, and you see all this greatness that I'm presenting to the world after Khaled. I made my first $1 million after Khaled. Everything came after Khaled. First mansion after Khaled. First Maybach Mercedes after Khaled. First multiple homes after Khaled. Real estate after Khaled. Everything that I did was after Khaled. So before getting to that, God took me through a situation to shape me up with the knowledge. He gave me $1 million worth of game just for free. So I sat around him and learned how to politic. I learned how to do this. I learned the things he wasn't doing right. I learned how he used people. I learned how to go back and fix the things that he did wrong with the people for them and exchange it with a favor. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, you ain't do this right, but let me, because I didn't have the money. So I'm working and networking with DJs that he's shitting on just to get his records played and get his music out there marketed. And he doing them wrong when he don't got no record. He don't call them or answer the phone. I'm answering the phone. I'm checking to see what their kids wear to school that they need. And let me buy that for them. Little shit that he wasn't doing. The little shit grow the big shit. Seeds growing the trees. He didn't see the tree. He just looking at his seed to grow his plant. I'm looking at the tree. So I could create shade for people like TZ and Owerme and the people that I'm trying to bring after me. You get what I'm saying? Right. So I learned from it. And I don't hate the guy. I don't dislike the guy. I just realized it was all for self. So it's not we the best. It's he the best.
Damn.
When I first, I didn't like him at first, man. I mean, I'm like, yo, what's up? Well, I'm working with this guy. But the truth is, I thank God for working with that guy. I thank God for learning. And I'm going to say this. The reason I didn't like him, I'm going to give you three examples. One, T-Pain came to the studio.
I like T-Pain. You ain't got nothing bad to say, but you be cool.
No, that's my dog.
I fuck with T-Pain. I was like, damn, hold on, bro. Come on, nah. Church. Now we're going to have to debate. I'm like, fuck, I like me some T-Pain, man.
T-Pain came to the studio. I'm playing beats. And T-Pain grabbed the beat that I had on and was like, I want to do this song with you. Khaled got mad and was like, I ain't call you over here. I call you to do a song with Ace Hood. T-Pain said, I'll do that next. Let me do Rich Kid. At the time, I'm Rich Kid. He's like, let me do Rich Kid's song. He did my song. And then that's one occasion. Then the second occasion is me and Birdman at the I'm On One video shoot with Khaled, Drake, and Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And Birdman say, before Khaled came, he was like, yo, I want to put you on, put you in position. And he was like, I'm finna talk to Khaled because this Ace Hood shit ain't working. We flopping. Mm-hmm. We got to get somebody in the streets fucking with you right now. So I'm like, yeah, talk to Khaled. Let's go. So I'm crying tears of joy.
I thought Ace Hood had a little bit of emotion.
The word little bit is, you got to scrutinize that word. I mean, I like Ace Hood. He's a positive individual. But let's be honest. After Khaled detached, he retracted back to what he was before Khaled. Nobody thinking about him. He's a fitness trainer now. My whole thing is, let me finish my last statements. Birdman talked to Khaled, hey, I want to put him in position. Khaled say, I don't know about that. And the conversation just went away. So then the last one was, Fat Joe stepped to me, hey, I want to manage you. Khaled, my brother, I know I can get you on. You got too much hustle in you. I say, tell Khaled. He told Khaled. Next thing I know, Khaled telling me behind Fat Joe back, like, man, if you mess with Fat Joe, man, if you go behind him and mess with him, and I ain't fucking with you no more. Because Fat Joe really was the muscle. Fat Joe really could have got him to do what I needed him to do. And he didn't want that pressure because he didn't see me as an artist. He saw me as a friend. That's the problem with me and Khaled. We became best friends. We wasn't business. And I'm signed to this man at this time. And I got a fucking roof with a leak in it and kids that I got to feed, and I ain't got no car. So friends end at that point that we can't make no ends meet.
And we can't do business.
We can't do business, bro. We can't do business. So I went through all these situations, and I just, like, went through a phase where I lost everything, and I just say, man, fuck this guy. I can't fuck with this guy no more. And then, you know, God blessed me, and I forgave him. And I say, you know what? And he called me back like, yo, I want to work back with you. But I'm like, at this point, no, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I can't fuck with you no more because the way you did me when I ain't have shit, fuck you. You understand me? Don't fuck with me no more. Fuck everything about you. And that was just that. But now I respect it and I appreciate what he taught me.
Well, maybe it's what you took out of it.
What I took out of it.
Because you had to take yours, it sounds like to me. And no offense to him or nothing.
Right, right, of course.
This wasn't something that I feel like in the situation, from how you're explaining it, that he gave you.
Right.
This was something you said, give me my shit. You took what you felt like you could learn from it, and you moved on.
That's it. That's it. And that's what I was telling my man. I'm like, yo, don't sign no deal. I said, as bad as everybody want to get a record deal, record deal, record deal, record deal.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
When I turned down a $2 million contract podcasting deal, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, you crazy. But I wasn't, because I'm signing to somebody that's affiliated with artists. So if I walk away, if I go to that, I got to limit what I say now. I can't say this about this one. Even if I stand in my truth, they don't want that because they control my content. I'm signed to them.
They control your narrative.
Right. So I had to walk away from that deal. And yeah, I was looked at as a fool. But now, to me, 3 years later, I feel like I made the best decision in my life. Yeah. You know, to walk away from being controlled. And just own my shit. I don't have to have all the money. I don't got to have all the industry connections and contact. All I need is what God got for me.
Do you feel like Khaled was trying to control you and you was like, break the shackles?
Control and manipulate. And you can't control a real nigga. How you going to control Sharp Tank?
Yeah, that's real shit, though.
How you going to control Big Chief?
I'm just even going and shout out to Big Chief. Because I'm going to say this. Like, yeah, I'm not with that. You ain't gonna put no shackles on me. It ain't gonna be none of that. Like you said, you can't control a real nigga. That was a general statement. I love that statement, and I feel like the viewers needed to hear that. You cannot control a person that stands for something.
No.
And for themselves.
Mm-mm.
You just can't do it, man. It's not gonna happen. And I don't care who that is. It don't matter. It could have been Khaled's third cousin. It doesn't matter. Like, it stands for what it stands for.
That's why they blackball real niggas. That's why they blackball people that's real. You ain't got to be a N-I-G-G-A. You could be just somebody that stand for something. You're going to always get blackballed and ridiculed. You understand me? Even Trump. I know people that don't like Trump and can't stand Trump, but the truth is the truth. The man kept it 100. I'd rather somebody tell me they don't like me to my face than be up there like Joe Biden or one. And I ain't going into politics, but just think about this. They all oppressors. But if somebody going to stand in front of me and tell me they don't like me, I respect them more than somebody that hide that. But they whole past show that they never liked you.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Just keep it real with me,
keep
man.
Keep it real,
you
man.
Got
for
to
real.
Make America great again at that point.
Yeah.
Because I know this motherfucker don't like me, but at the end of the day, he telling me that he a red situation. And the other guy, he hiding it behind the blue.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm going to say this for it.
Mm-hmm.
And did not touch politics too deep, but to touch it enough. They said when they said they wanted a real nigga in office, when Trump got in there, you got one.
You got one.
He just an orange nigga, and shout out to him.
That's right.
Shout out to him.
That's bro. Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's dying. I mean, shout out to him, because I fuck Trump. With him. But I'm saying, they said that they wanted one in office, you got one. You know what I'm saying? Kitchen was closed. What'd he do when the team came? Got everybody McDonald's burger. He shut the whole.
You niggas need. We know what you want.
Fuck you want with a cup him, of fries. Yeah. You want a cup of fries.
But it's crazy because.
And they try to talk bad about him behind that.
That's what
that.
I'm saying. And the thing
they did, bro. They did.
My first time in the White House was with Trump. He brought me to the White House. He said, I like your content. I like what you're doing. And brought me to the White House, gave me a hotel at his hotel in the Trump, in D.C., yeah. and got me chauffeured in a Rolls Royce, yeah. to the damn White House. Then we got 3 bills passed. Kim Kardashian was there. You know, I don't even want to talk. I don't like them. So she was there. I don't like them at all. They garbage. But she was there. The Kardashian girl was there.
The Kardashian.
She was there. Kanye was outside somewhere. Everybody was there. And I'm there. You know, I'm a real nigga from the trap house in the White House.
Right.
And I'm looking at Kardashian them in there.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm like trying to hold like my.
So we got the orange nigga in the car trash you. Right.
This nigga is live, homie. All right, continue, please, please.
So I went to the White House.
Right.
It was an interesting situation. had a good time. Got a chance to meet Trump. Took a picture with
that's live.
Him and his daughter. Got a chance to do other things. They offered me another. I actually had a private meal with Trump. This is why I know what real money is. So for a meal, they was doing donations like the billionaires in the room, and it was 12-seater, right? And everybody had to pay $297,000 or something like just under $300,000 just to have dinner with Trump. And it was 12 seats. And it was like no more. And I was there. And I'm sitting there like, wow, this is the kind of power that I need to be around. Like I need to be in these. So he offered me some money to promote his 2024 campaign. I ain't take the offer because once you get into politics, look at Kodak Black. Look at everybody. Look at Lil Wayne. Once you jump into politics, they going to scrutinize your ass.
And Kodak Black is one of the people that Donald Trump actually helped. That's why Kodak Black say, no, that's my people. He said, I'm not about to talk bad about him, man. That man helped him out of a bind.
For real, though.
Like a real bind. That man was going to go down, you know? And shout out to Kodak Black, man. Like, he was on some shit. He had some shit going on. And here come Donald Trump, man, to look out. I look at it like this. And like I said, we ain't got to dive too deep into it. And I love the conversation about it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I would want a businessman running this shit. Trump's a businessman.
That's it.
He's a businessman, bro. Like, because there's too much business. That's what causes everything. That's what causes friction. That's what causes cool shit is business.
That's right.
Right? So what do we need? Business is making the world go around. Everything that's going on from oil to just gas, just everything. Like, it's business what makes the world go around. I think it's best that we do have a businessman there that's not going to have his heart just wearing his heart on his sleeve.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I need somebody that's going to come up in there. Sometimes there's going to be a corporate decision that needs to be made.
Because he's all about business, look at the economy when he was in. Look at all the people that got money. Look how much money was floating around when he was in office.
I fuck with him, bro. I ain't got nothing bad to say about Trump. I never did. You know, and I think that he came in and proved a lot of people wrong.
That's it.
I really do.
That's
me personally. Look, Don's like, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Trump, next time you bring me to the White House, you got to bring Sharp with me. Next time you bring me to the White House, Sharp coming with me.
Yeah, I would love to come.
We macking and stacking the whole way through. We ain't lacking.
Hey, you know what was funny about him, Nino? Because the day they was trying to kick him out, he wouldn't leave. He was playing golf on the course.
Wow. Wow.
He refused to leave. So, man, I'm playing golf. I'll leave, you know, because they get, you know, you got a certain amount of time to vacate.
You got
to
get
White
out of
House. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They give you like a couple months after election, 30 days or some shit after election.
Before they evict
your ass. He didn't leave. He said, I bet I'll leave when I'm ready, pretty much.
I'm golfing.
He was out there playing golf. They catching him out there. They're like, obviously, he's not worried. No, he's not worried about none of this.
He paid. He set. And now he running for 40. What is it? It's going to be 47? He running for the 47. So
I think he's gonna make it.
I mean, who else? DeSantis? I mean, I don't know. I don't care who make it. All I care about is make my bank account great again. I don't care nothing about America. I mean, I love America. We live here, but let's just be honest. Make my bank account great again. Whoever gonna get in that office and make that bank account great again, man, listen, that's all I care about.
I think there's gonna be hundreds of thousands of viewers that's gonna agree with what you just said.
Make my bank account great again. That's all I'm saying. I don't care about none of that shit y'all care about, man. Y'all can have all that. Just send me my money, man. That's it, man. We'll talk about all that other shit later. Y'all can hate you in the barbershop. Y'all can get in the nail salon and talk about that bullshit. But we talking about the goddamn money. Make my bank account great again, baby. Trump, what's up with it?
So you've also, me listening to you, you've dealt with people in the music business. Like, Main Profile. Because when you bring up Khaled and, like, you know, being around Birdman and just people like that, like, you done been around this shit. You definitely had some experience.
Yeah, I've been around a lot of people, man. Gucci, man. Nicki Minaj before she blew up. Oh, man. Jay-Z, we and him rolling the Maybach together, one-on-one, giving me game. I just remember all these times, man. I mean, I done met Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Jeezy, we went on tour together. I mean, I done been around all of them. But one thing I can say about this game, it's only like one or two of them that's real. Most of them fake as hell. From the money they say they got, from the lifestyle they say they live, from the things they say they'll do for people, it's all fake. It's all cap. And that's what I want to step in the game and tell people. Like, check this out. Man, I'm going to stand on what I believe in. I'm going to stand on, you understand me? Anything I say I'm going to do for people, I'm going to always try. Even when you hit me and say, hey, man, and then the airport did what they did, I couldn't control that. But at the end of the day, I'm here.
You're here. And that's why I feel like it's all, listen, man, real ones fuck with real ones. Even if you would have just told me, appreciate you. Even if you would have just told me, you didn't even have to show. You showed me the flight. You went as far as showing me I'm in the airport, like right. Talking like, look, man, this shit's all delayed. It was fucked up. I don't know, I think it was when they was landing a lot of flights. Some shit had happened.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, real shit happened to real niggas, man. I'm not gonna sit there and be like, oh, he capping on me. Oh, he acting brand new. I keep it cool, man. People got lives. I look at it like that because I know I have one.
Right.
So I gotta put myself in your shoes. Like, man, shit, nigga got shit to do. He ain't get around to this shit. We'll sit down and be able to kick this. And I feel like it's been great so far, man. I love having you here, man. I love you coming through and dropping jewels to the viewers, man.
They need it.
They have to have it.
They need
this
it.
Shit is mandatory, man.
Yeah, they need it.
You know what I'm saying? Because shit is getting fucked up out
Very
here,
bad.
Man. Like, it's like, and I say it all the fucking time, you know. The internet is a dangerous place because people misuse it more for bad than they do good.
People don't understand that the internet ain't do nothing to nobody. It's the people that's behind the module. It's the people behind the agendas. It's the money that's being dumped in a certain area to make you draw to it. The internet just been the internet since day one. The problem is social media ruined the real world, ruined the perception of reality. Love and hip hop ruined the real world because took the love out of households. Think about when we grew up, we had shows like Family Matters.
You want something to drink, Church?
I'm good. Family Matters, Martin. We had shows
that. Those was
dope. Those was dope. But it showed homeboys, and it also showed a man going home to one woman at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You got good times. It showed you how to have good times in the Poe family. Think about the slow songs. Jodeci, H-Town. Think about all the you understand me, the good music.
Oh, nobody's making, I'll tell you this, and we can talk about that for even R&B. Ain't nobody making no good love songs no more.
That's why,
like,
nobody
real
love.
Love songs, man, that's, for real. I'm talking about, like, and I ain't even saying I'm that type of nigga because I'm not. But them niggas that used to cut R&B back in the day was some begging ass niggas. And the bitches, and they loved it. The bitches loved it, man. They loved it, man. Jodeci, all them niggas, I fuck with them. They made the best begging ass songs in the world.
Man, look.
In the world, man. That's why they was on. You're everything I do. Like, nigga, all them niggas, man. They do all that shit. I know I can't hit the note. They hit it better than me. That's why they made the song.
I tried to help y'all a little bit. Yeah. You didn't hear me over here, dude.
I did.
But you know what? This end, I was going here when they took the love out the music and replaced it with a city girl. And then they took the love out the hip-hop. Tupac and the Biggies and all the rest of them was out there kicking that keep your head up in a time like this in a recession. When we ain't got nobody telling you. They tell you, I just want to rock, rock, rock. I just want to smoke rock, rock. You get what I'm saying? Whatever the dude is, but it's the biggest song ever. So it's making the young kids think, I got to go out there and do that to stay on. So in the course of it, the blind leading the blind, and the whole world ain't got an eye for it. Everybody looking at the money, but don't know what to do with the money. You just getting the money. Don't know how to turn it, flipping and turn it. You get what I'm saying? And that's why the girls, they following the girls that's going over there to get goddamn surgery. Then you just seen the four people that died in Mexico from going over to get surgery. You see what's going on, women dying on the table, risking their life for some attention. Attention, a new drug,
it is.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It's, motherfucker can have millions and they still want attention.
Yep.
They still rather have attention. Like, they don't give a fuck than money. Motherfucker rather have it. You ask them right now, what would you rather have? Would you rather have $1 million or
a million followers?
Or 1 million followers. They'll be like, 1 million followers.
Yep.
And you know what? That's cool if you were to say, like, because I know what to do with those 1 million followers. Facts. To generate me $1 million. But they're not even doing it for that.
No.
That's not the reason why you want them. You want it to be able to say, look at me.
Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. I want to be able to come on and eat a bag of hot Cheetos and my fingers red as hell with it all in the corners of my mouth. See? And I got 5,000 to 10,000 people just watching. No, that's trash.
Look,
if you want that, you're that's trash.
Do everything I do. Everything you do trash by this bitch. Because y'all looking for attention. Y'all looking at the wrong thing. You understand me? Look for what the game missing. The game need a sharp tank. The game need a Nino Brown. What the game need from you? That's what's going to make you rich. Don't do what they doing. They got a bunch of generics out here. But this is organic. This is organic. When we die, we going down as legends. You can always, matter of fact, we passed the live forever mark because you can always go back and play this video long after I'm dead and look at this giant. You can look at him for the ever. Like, he gone 60 years from now, 70, 80 years from now, he gone. Guess what? This content live forever.
Do you know I think about that? And that touches my heart, homie, because I think about that in every interview I ever drop. That's smart. When I'm gone, what am I leaving behind?
That's right.
Let me not detour somebody. Even if I come off, people say it comes off as aggression. No, it's passion. Like, sometimes you got to tell people like that.
To.
That's the only way they're going to listen. Hearing goes in one ear and out the other. So if you sit there sometimes just talk to a person normally about it, like, yeah, probably shouldn't do that. That shit, they not even listening, man. They ready to get up and go. But when you tell them firmly, even if they don't accept the game right then and there, I promise you, they will take that shit home, move the coffee table, and try a couple karate moves without anybody looking.
That's right.
I can go for that. I mean, you ain't got to even show nobody, but try it. I don't tell people things just to tell them. And I know that this shit's gonna. I hope this is my time capsule.
Right.
And I'm just trying to leave behind as much game of life possible because in the next 20 years, 30 years, the average day moral will be gone.
Gone. You have to.
It will be gone.
You had to go to a museum to see a real woman. What a real woman was.
Yeah.
Organic woman. You got to go to a museum to see that.
Donnie, you understand that don't me? Scare you, Donnie?
Oh, yeah.
If you smart, you don't want to reproduce. If you smart right now, you don't want to reproduce right now until the world get a little better.
Yeah.
Until you see some young leaders out here, some young Shark Tanks, some young Nino Brown, some people that's going to carry on this legacy to change the world. Because morality is gone.
And I ain't talking about from what we came from. I'm talking about for what we do today.
That's right.
For what we show today. It's not about where we've been. It's about what we pull to this shit today.
That's right.
And I feel like that's important, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's why I love you, Nino, man. You've been real in the reels and things that you drop and you just having this fame from it, but to meet you in person and to see that you keep it the same fucking way, even just meet you off camera, you keep it the same way that you do on.
Bro, it ain't no faking, bro. I just put the crown on the shades on, but I sleep like this. He'll tell you, man, I really am that, bro, because I understand what it is to not have this shit. I understand what it is to be fake. Bro, some of the best pastors in the world was the ones that went through the most shit in the street. Mm-hmm. People don't look at that. That's the one who got the biggest testimony. Even you coming from the street. Everybody done came from their set of blues. And if you use your mind to tell a younger generation that's looking up to the old Sharp, like, man, look, man, I was out here, man, I'm getting it in. Man,
I wasn't some. I don't feel like that was something for anybody. That ain't something for you to look up to, man. To me,
see,
and just being real. If I think about it now, and I feel like it comes with growth. Like if I think about it now, no, that's not something I would want to teach to somebody because not everybody can handle this shit, man. It'll ball you up in the corner and make your stomach hurt. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see people hurt themselves.
No,
or be hurt through things.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. Like, so I don't I do not tour people on or detour people off to, hey, man, go be a pimp. Go be a drug dealer. Here, go fuck your life. No, man. All I do is find your way. You have a way. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a gift. Find your way.
Wow.
Because it's there.
That's it.
I say it all the time. There is a million ways out of a chokehold. You just got to find one way, your way.
And today, the oldest you ever been and the youngest you're going to ever be. You got to make sure you utilize this day we living in. You only going to be 18 one time. And it takes 18 years to be 18.
Fuck.
Can't do it in 1 year. You can't do it in five. You can't do it in 17. It takes 18 years to get there. It took him time to get where he at as a transformed, you understand me, redefined man. Me too.
That shit was hard.
It was hard.
That shit was hard. But you had to want it. Man, you had to want it. And when them windows come around, the motherfuckers damn near like eclipses, man. They don't come around often.
That's right.
It's not every night you can go jump through the window of success or jump through the window of transition. It doesn't happen like that, especially when you came from being knee deep in something.
But you know what? You just said it. When the opportunity came, you took it. Mm-mm. It's times where we be out here as street dudes, right? And we getting that street money, and that money be 10 and 20 a week, right? And we realize that the dream, let's say Sharp Tank before Sharp Tank was Sharp Tank, it probably had five followers. At that time, we still in the street. Watch this, though. We don't know this is it now. And this ain't even the peak of your potential. But just think about what I'm saying. In the time we get money in the street, we like, man, I got to stick with this street shit because it's paying. But we don't know this is the retirement plan. We need to put as much effort as we can into this now, the same energy we put in them streets.
You don't ever hear nobody like, I'll be real with you. Anybody that I've came from the like being around the game, nobody had an end game for themselves.
No.
For themselves. Like, fuck everybody else, especially from where I come from, because I came from a game of having to worry about everybody else. So it's like, when do you really worry about you for your end game? I can't be too busy just constantly. I can't 100% just worry about yours because yours might fuck around and veer off from me and your boat don't want to go my direction. And I got to make sure I got me a raft too, baby.
That's right.
I got to have me a raft too. I got to build me a just in case of emergency break glass.
Because guess what? When you on the plane, they tell you, in case of emergency, you take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
Before you even take care of your kid, you put the oxygen mask on you.
You can't. How could you help anybody? Anybody. If that sounds selfish, then fucking so be it. But I can't help nobody if I can't help myself first. I'd look like a fucking retard. I'd look like a fool, a whole fool.
But guess what?
It was a damn fool.
It was one time where you were selfless in order to understand what selfish really is. Mm-hmm. You were selfless. You was giving out love and help to everybody till you realize who pouring back into this cup.
I could have had I'll tell you this, and I know it's always a shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I know that if I wasn't, I could have had way more. If I was a stingy, selfish bastard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I could have had way more. Hell, I would have been playing fucking golf with Bill Gates and fucking Ed McMahon or some crazy way out shit.
Right.
I wouldn't have been here.
No.
Money would have been up and I would have been gone.
But you
got to give. It's a lot of giving that goes on. And I think that's for anybody that got into any game of dope selling, of anything. It was to help. You got people you got to help, man. It's some fucked up shit going on. That's why I started. I didn't get into it because it was a fad or a style. You know, you need to make a better way. You need money now, right now, to fix situations that are going on right now. These can't wait 4 or 5 months. No. I've said it, but you know, Rory Douglas, I sat down with him one time. It's AD's daddy. And I sat down with him and he was like, he told me, he said, man, Sharp, he said, you know, the average American household cannot handle a $400 emergency.
Damn.
It fucked me up. Because I was like, damn, it's real. He was like, the average American household, he says, cannot handle a $400 emergency right now and still be cool to make groceries next for the week.
That's crazy.
It's fucked up, man.
And the average American bank account only got $500 or less. Matter of fact, about 92% 88 to 92% of American bank accounts have $500 less. I used to do this test. I used to tell people, when you go to the ATM to take out money, if you see a receipt, go read the available balance of what people just took out and what they got left. It'll shock you. They was taking out more than they had left in the bank. To go do what with it? To bullshit.
You know, let's think about it. When you put your money in the bank, right? And I feel like this is, oh, this don't get us kicked up. Oh, this don't get us demonetized. Donnie, you got to stop us sometime here, bro. You can't let us. Hey, no, but for real. Like, we all know this, though. When you put your money in the bank, the money goes, the banks go and flip your money. They just show you on the phone that this is the amount that you have. But once you go put your money in the bank, that money goes on to go flip 10 times over again. For the banks, for financial movements, for houses, for things like that, for loans, like shit that they take the man, bro, that money stays flipping. You just have something that just shows you in your banking app that that's what you have available.
But you can't touch it. You
can't touch, man. Walk in there right now and tell them you want to take everything out of your account. Well, hold on.
You didn't call us.
You didn't call us. We weren't prepared for that today. Let's just say you got a million or two in the bank. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I want to take my $2 million out of your bank right now.
I didn't tell you for 10 grand before.
What'd they tell you, Donnie?
Oh, you gotta call.
Well, I gotta order it. You gotta order your money.
Yeah, you gotta order it.
You gotta order your money.
That's crazy. But it's true. It's true. You can't get no money without ordering it, but they could use your money and they make more money off overdrafts.
Oh my God! There's people that pay $400 to $500 a month in overdraft fees.
That's right.
And they don't really trip it because they end up having it and they just pay it back. But man, dispute to the people. Just dispute some of that shit. Call the banks. Let them know. I don't even know how this charge happened.
That's right.
And it'll happen off of, let's just say, we're talking about people that, man, you know, they're living check to check. You know, I resonate with them. I understand. I've been there. So I can understand when the banks, like how they try to play this whole little narrative, man, of, you know, hey, you always say, here, you had something that's set for automatic payment, right? Something that automatically comes out your bank. You didn't put it in there just yet. That's a $34 charge.
That's right.
On top. So let's say you got five bills that came out that month that you just didn't get a chance to go put the money in the bank just yet. You got the money. You didn't get a chance to put it in there. You're getting a $34 charge for every single transaction. I don't care if you got a fucking Apple that you pay for your Apple shit a month, $9.99, where you always got that bill that comes out from Apple every month that's like 10 bucks. You're going to get a $34 charge from your bank not having that money in there. It sucks. Some people are paying $400 or $500 in overdraft fees a month.
But you know what?
Mm.
You were just saying something about check to check. That applies to artists. I'm going to tell you how.
Ooh, let's talk about it.
So let's say a rapper, right? And I'm going to prove what I'm saying. Let's say a rapper make $30,000 a show, right?
Right.
And he averaging about two shows a week, maybe even 5 to 6 a month, right?
Right.
But his bills is $120,000 a month. That's talking about rent. That's talking about car notes. That's talking about the bitches he's taking care of. That's talking about everything that he got going on. Mm. Now, when COVID hit, right? So watch this. All these rappers making all this money, rapping about the money, but the first people taking out the PPP loans was the rapper. The first one going to jail was rappers for doing illegal shit. Because they can't make the money to pay the bills that they was paying when they was making show money. So when I say it's levels to this shit, when Meek Mill say that, brother, it is levels to this shit. Because look at Fetty Wap. He caught a situation in the COVID era where he was selling, you know, doing whatever he doing. Now he in prison for 5, 6, 7 years on some dope shit when he making money on art. You look at Fetty Wap. The dude's still big, still hot, still relevant. Look at Casanova. Look at all these rappers that went in on some federal fraudulent shit.
Indictments.
Right.
Yeah, there was indictments.
Because we would look at them and be like, man, they making money. They making $100,000 a month. But if they bills matching up to what they making and they only pocketing $2,000, when a month come or 3 months or even how long COVID lasts, 2 to 3 years, bro, it started pulling out them, it pulled down them eagles out the sky.
Well, it's hard for a person that comes from getting money and they've built this overhead to downsize.
Right.
And I understand that.
That's
but
right.
You got to look at the obstacle course here, homie.
That's right.
If it's time for you to downsize, nigga, hey, man, maybe Mastro's ain't in the plan today.
That's
you
right.
You know what I'm saying? Papado's, it's not in the plan today.
That's right.
You better go to that motherfucking grocery store and go get some make groceries.
That's real.
And go up in there and go make you something to eat.
That's right.
It doesn't take, I'd rather have that all, I'd rather have a knot in my pocket or a knot in my bank account than versus to go out to a fucking Mastro's, sit down, spend $5.50 and shit the shit out by morning and to put it on Instagram.
Sure.
I don't fuck that. Who am I proving something to? Fuck this memory. I want my memories to last a lifetime. That's the problem.
Energy.
Everybody use that shit to make memories for a second. I want to make memories for a lifetime.
That's right.
Give a fuck about posting my food. What am I doing? I was always taught when I was coming up, you don't ever do that to people.
No.
And you can't offer them none. So all the people that have sat there and posted their food, I don't give a fuck. How if you got 1,000 likes, you 1,000 people meals.
See? That's the
teach
truth.
Some real game, homie.
That's the truth.
You don't put nothing in nobody's face like that. You don't know who hungry out here. You don't know who didn't eat today.
No.
You over here posting this shit, moving your macaroni and cheese around, making weird ass sounds. Don't even want to get into it. I don't like it.
The camera ate it before they ate it. The camera see the plane before you get on it. The camera see what you about to wear before you buy it. Everybody got this phone out. Everybody's showing off. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. The rapper dude go broke from maintaining a lifestyle that he can't uphold with his shit fold.
That's why I like J. Cole. That's why I like J. Cole. You notice? I feel like why he stands out to me is because I feel like he's went the opposite direction.
That's
this
right.
Nigga don't buy jewelry. I mean, I'm sure he's got a couple pieces. He's probably got a couple things
he's
that he likes.
Paid.
You know what I'm saying? That nigga's paid.
He paid.
He's paid. I mean, he be walking through the airport on the normal. He'll catch a regular flight. Like, he don't give a fuck.
Right.
He is saving his money because you know why? I feel like he's got a vision and he's fucking preparing for something. He knows something. He's not trying to, he's seen a lot of rappers go up the charts and having money and, but only few even stay in it because of their good name. It's not because they don't lose the money. I feel like every rapper done went bankrupt once at least.
Right. Right. But the truth
at
is.
At least, right? At least once, you know, even if nobody knew about it, they
right.
couldn't tell.
But the truth is with J. Cole, he walked around like Jesus in the Bible and got hundreds of millions of dollars. His J. Cole Fest, I forget what it's called, Dream World or something like that.
Yeah.
This man
Dreamville.
Got Drake, Dreamville. This man got
Shout
Drake.
Cole,
Drake is
Dreamville.
A $1 million performer. Then he got all kind of artists on his lineup. He can't be broke. You get what I'm saying? And he ain't got, I think to this day, he still ain't got no Jay-Z feature. Mm. And he did it all without that. He ain't need no jewelry. You see the man walking around with a skateboard, kick push. It's not about what he riding in, it's about what
he do be swagging though. His clothes, his shit, even though he be wearing like the baggy joint, all that
yeah.
shit be expensive though. I ain't gonna lie. Like, he ain't dressing like a bum. He just don't go and get the shit that niggas, man, I'm getting 100 Cubans.
Yeah, all right.
Getting 100 Cubans. I need a Rolly and an AP on each wrist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need the Rari sitting outside. A matching one right behind it.
Yeah.
He's not doing that, bro.
He getting value, not quantity.
Yes.
He getting quality.
Yes.
And he know what it is. You ain't got to know. And if you
yeah.
know money, you know it when you see it. Like, damn, you see what J. Cole got on? But the people that's into the flash, they looking at him like he broke. But really broke. Looking broke is the new rich for the rich.
Yeah.
Rich people, the only people I know could get away wearing dirty shoes.
I've said this a long time ago. It's always been the man with the beer belly coming in with the Tommy Bahama shirt on, the cargo shorts, and some New Balances on. Richest in the building.
That's him.
Richest in the building, man. He don't care what anybody thinks about what he has on. I'll come in this motherfucker in pajamas. I'm getting paid. I got a bankroll more than everybody that's in here. Them the ones that I listen to. Because you know why they don't glorify shit. That's how you get rich.
That's how
you cannot glorify, you know,
materials.
False, you cannot glorify. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't be materialized. I mean, let me tell you how much that Gucci and all that shit don't matter. Like at the end of the year or end of the season, they take it and burn it before they give it out.
Don't the Bible say it says something of... You can't, don't glorify idols.
Right.
There's no idols.
That's right.
Right? That's what it says. It says there's no idols.
Right.
But look at who all the idols are. All these name brands.
That's true.
All these name brands, right or wrong.
They're true.
All these name brands from, like you said, Gucci. And like I said, I like them, but I've noticed a lot of people glorify them.
They glorify them. They worship them. They feel like they're not dripping if they ain't got it on. In our era, when we grew up, you understand me, Nikes was cool. You understand me, Macy's was cool. Polo was cool. In this era here, if you ain't wearing Louis Vuitton, Balenciaga, Versace, and all that shit, you ain't dripping.
I feel like us as black folks, we buy more of that shit than we do try to buy business.
That's right.
Or try to buy something for us that's going to make us some money.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like who's really buying all this shit? Who buys all that, the name brand shit? Because I always see my kind, we buy it all. We buy it up.
That's it.
We buy the shit up. I ain't seen more money during the pandemic get spent on fucking designer, alcohol, and crab legs than I've ever seen in my motherfucking life. And yeah. Seafood, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In my motherfucking life, man, during that pandemic, they sold tons of it. I'm not saying not everybody went and just fucked off, but there was more few than there was a mass majority of people really trying to take their bread and go make it do something for them.
Turn it over. You know what I'm saying? Nah, that's real. Like,
you know,
they made everybody else rich. Nobody get more rich off black people than Apple, Jordan, and Hennessy. Mm. Hennessy, Apple, the new iPhone. Your iPhone worked goddamn fine, but you want the new iPhone 15, and you just got the 14 2 months ago, but it's the new one out.
They're treating these phones like leases. It's like a lease.
And it costs more than the TV.
It's like you upgrade every year, right? But you still paid a lot on the phone.
That's right.
They still got the money out of you. Now they're about to get ready to throw you right back in the same mixture. It's like a lease, like when people lease cars, right? Same it's like shit. You're leasing phones now.
It's $1,500, $1,600 for a phone and a TV in Walmart. Biggest, this one up here, is only $250.
And I'll have your kids glorifying that shit, coming and asking you, Daddy, can you get me the new iPhone? They don't really think about the money of it and how we're really getting whooped and that there's going to be a new one that comes out next year that you're cool with upgrading every 3 years, baby girl. You right. know what I'm saying? No, they're looking at it like, oh, shit, the new iPhone came out. I don't really know about the pricing. I just want it.
And then think about it. It's not being advertised on TV and commercials as talking text. It's being advertised off a camera. Think about that.
Hey, I'll tell you this, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to say Apple doesn't advertise. They don't advertise as much as a lot of other people. But if you look at like Aston Martin, Bentley, Rolls Royce, fucking you name it, from fucking all the supercars.
Right.
They don't got commercials.
When's
the last time have you seen a Ferrari commercial on TV?
The people that can afford them don't watch TV.
They don't watch TV.
They don't watch TV.
Don't nobody, you ever notice that? They don't got no commercials. You ain't never seen the new Ferrari commercial. Oh, yeah, come grab this new F12. Starting at fucking $259,000 market price. You know how they break it down right there for you. You know what I'm saying? You can come maybe get a deal. They don't do that shit.
No.
You walk inside them dealerships, bro. Them dealerships are not like Lexus and Toyota. And when you walk in there, the dealership's full of life, right? It's full of life. People are in there getting oil changes, all types of shit going on. People late on their payments. People are in there trying to get their shit done. Some people picking up their pink slips, whatever. You walk inside Aston Martin, bro, Bentley, places like that, Rolls Royce. Man, it's probably you and maybe an old lady in there.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe you and an old lady. Man, it's quiet.
Very quiet.
Ain't nobody up in there.
You can hear a pin drop.
You can hear a fucking bent penny drop.
That's crazy.
Man, I appreciate you coming, man. We're going to have to kick it again
man,
like
we
this,
got
man.
To.
And
we
just
got
come
to.
Sit down. Anytime you come down to L.A., man, I promise you. And I'm here, I'll always make time for you to come and sit down, man.
Too.
Is there anything that you want to leave the viewers with before we check out of here?
Man, I just want to tell y'all, man, anything possible. I just want to tell you to believe in yourself, believe in your vision, even when nobody else around you can see it. I also want to tell you that everybody can't go. I know you want your niggas to go, your mama to go, your sister to go, but the truth is, whatever vision God put in you, align yourself with that vision, 11-11. Make alignment with it, man. And even if they don't see it, when you get to it, they'll understand it when it start making sense. The dollars come and start making sense. Just stay focused. Stay in your passion and turn your pain into passion and let God give you strength so you could chase your purpose. That's all I want to say.
Nino Brown, I appreciate you, man, for coming and rocking with me. You hear me?
My dog.
I'm definitely, hey, you. We need to talk business.
Yes, sir.
Talk business, man. For real. I got some ideas, man, I think that you might be interested in.
Let's do that.
All right, we're gonna chime out on them.
It's time to Sharp Tank.
The Sharp Tank. No jumper. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world.
Ever.
Hey, Donnie, shoot us out the motherfucking gym.